Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Dan McNeil, Danny Parkins.
Here we go!
Afternoons on the Score.
The Cubs lost the series last night, but they still have the lead in the division by half game, and Washington up this weekend. The pitching Cubs will be looking at this weekend. Scherzer tonight.
Chris will hit a fly ball into deep left center field. Back goes Soto. It's got a chance at the wall. Gone. Two-run home run, Chris Bryant. Cubs lead by a score of 5-2. Bryant hits a high fly ball to left. Going back is Soto. Back to the left field wall. This ball is going to be gone. Chris Bryant, second of the night. Bryant drives one in the air, deep left center. This ball's got a chance. Chris Bryant with a hat trick. His third homer of the night.
Three.
The games both Saturday and Sunday are national games. Len Casper is doing the Fox National game Saturday with Joe Girardi. John Lester will oppose Steven Strasburg.
Hitters are only hitting 105 this year. And really, to me, he's a 1A.
Swings and misses. Kendrick makes the catch, and the Nationals get a much-needed win.
And then Sunday night, another night with A-Rod.
Oh, yeah.
We know
what he's called.
Kyle Hendricks, the professor, okay, against Jeremy Hellickson.
You know what? I will have some meatloaf. Let's have some meatloaf.
You want some?
Hey, Mom! The meatloaf! We want it now!
Chopper to third. That should do it. Cubs are able to hold on. The Nationals came back on the long ball to make it a close one. But it's the Chicago bullpen that's able to stave off the rest of the rally and take two out of three here in D.C.
The meatloaf!
Meatloaf tastes good.
Yo! Saddle up! Lock and load!
The McNeil and Parkin Show. Afternoons 2 to 6 on 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago's sports station.
Add rally to the list of things we can stave off. The Cubs staved off the rally. We stave off elimination. Stave off a cold. Stave off weight gain. A rally has been staved off because Steve Cishek threw seven very exciting pitches to get the save last night and finish the Nationals as the Cubs have a weekend of meatloaf.
Two and a third goes Cishek for the Goose Gossage-esque save. No closer goes two and a third anymore. You might get a happenstance save of two-plus innings when you got a three-run lead and it's some other Jamoke, but Cishek, your guy, they sent him out there for seven outs. It was good stuff.
Jamoke!
Yeah.
I love that. The Jamoke. The Jamoke hour.
Mm-hmm.
This hour is brought to you by the Chicago Wolves. The Chicago Wolves and San Diego are tied one game apiece in the Western Conference Finals. The Wolves return home next weekend for potential games 6 and 7 at Allstate Arena. For playoff and ticket information, visit ChicagoWolves.com. And first hour is sponsored by Cars for Kids. Call 1-877-CARS-FOR-KIDS.
Proving conclusively that time is a flat circle, Mac, there's a text here that this guy's excited for True Detective Season 1 recap. On this show right here.
Well,
he's right. Let's do it.
That would be one, man, that I could applaud.
How about that long tracking, not the tracking shot or the Steadicam shot of the fight?
Episode 5.
Oh, episode 5 of season 5? 1. It was of the gunfight there. Oh,
yeah.
My God.
All continuous. Yep. Yeah. Shots from overhead, shots from all kinds of places.
Really?
You just buzzed about that one.
I don't like your face.
You didn't
it
like
it. Makes me want to do things to it.
Oh, God. I love that scene. There's, what is there about him that it's corrosive?
You wear your soul on your face. That guy was scary.
There's an air about you. It's corrosive. Yeah.
Now, Ginger, on the other hand, who hooked him up with that guy, looked like a completely trustworthy character, didn't he?
Uh-huh.
Jane Reardon?
How many people do we lose already here as we do?
I embrace the outlaw life.
I embrace the outlaw. Yeah, that's Shane Reardon on meth.
Oh, that's awesome.
You'd have Ginger.
He really is, isn't he?
I liked the final episode of True Detective Season 1. I thought they wrapped quite nicely.
Yeah, I was all right with that.
You were uncertain at first. I think a second watch you came around to.
Absolutely, and I recently rewatched the whole season with the wife who had never lived through it. That said, Season 2 was a freaking disaster. I skipped Season 3, and did you guys do it? Mahershala Ali? I've heard that I should know.
We did it. I think we were clutching at straws. Early on, it looked good. It looked like I declared True Detective back after one episode. Second episode was a little slower. Third one, they got it rolling a little bit. I don't watch a ton of episodic television, but I've seen all eight of them a second time now.
I've never watched Game of Thrones, and I know it has swept the nation. It seems to be fairly popular over the last 8 years or so. I read with interest the media critic for the New York Times, Wesley Morris, who watched all of Game of Thrones in 5 weeks, like just decided to catch up with this cultural thing that had been missing from the diet. So watched all of it in 5 weeks, and I could of course do that if I wanted to commit so many hours of my life to it, and perhaps I should, but I cannot recall a pop culture sensation that has left people more nonplussed for this long. Like, the whole season, nonplussed.
Right. There was a lot of dissatisfaction with the final episode of a handful of, you know, television shows, Sopranos included. But this one has been a lot of bellyaching.
I'll crap on the Seinfeld finale with all of you.
Okay.
You know? But the whole year to be crapped on this way? This is pretty interesting.
The queen with the blonde hair, I don't know what her name is, you know, who's always got the dragons, whatever her name is. They got her eating a hot.
Yeah, he said it doesn't have an audience. Well, he didn't say it doesn't have an audience. Yeah. He says it doesn't do well in the ratings because it's on HBO.
Whatever.
The ratings are not enormous. You'd be surprised how small the ratings are for both.
Well, the only ratings he's interested in are his and Michael K's and Boomer's.
That's true. Tanny's a fan of Game of Thrones. We'll set aside a little time later so people who can speak intelligently about the show last night can have an audience, and I'm sure a lot of people will want to react to it. But yeah, I saw the buzz last night after, you know, watching the Cubs and Nationals and looking at Twitter and also on Facebook. There are a lot of people extremely unhappy with the final episode. Parkins gave Shep and me a really fun assignment when there was the episode, I think it was 3 episodes ago, the battle scene, the dark one? Yes. It was 1 hour and 17 minutes or so, and we had never seen this.
How did you just describe that assignment?
Interesting.
Really
interesting.
Fun.
Really fun?
It was an interesting, and Sherry says, why would he ask you to do that one? And I said, because there's no dialogue. It's just a battle scene. We won't know what the hell's going on. I think it's actually kind of funny.
Mm.
And she goes, oh, I get the idea of it. So Shep and I sat here on a Monday and said, well, it was really dark and there was dragons and there were things and people were staring at each other. We had no idea what was going on.
Yeah.
Nothing.
Understood.
Got nothing for you.
Understood.
But I got plenty on the Cubs, as I know you do, too. That's a good weekend. And I thought Hendricks last night, I was thinking he's got a shot at it. The way he was going in the first 3 innings, as deep as he's gone in each of his last 3 starts, last 3 starts.
Eddie-o!
His last 3 starts.
Yeah, he was at 65 pitches through like 5 innings, I think. It was somewhere around there. Like, yeah, well, maybe he will go complete. I didn't realize that he felt as bad as he did until after the game, and he said so. He didn't like his stuff. But I would have thought he had just picked up exactly where he'd left off after the last 3.
They had a bad 6th inning. They slapped him around in the 6th inning, but he has been terrific.
Mm-hmm. He has been terrific, and that's, you know, look, you take the split with Strasburg and Scherzer.
Absolutely.
You kind of accept that at this point in your year. There are some things to be concerned about, like guys other than 2, 3, 4, 5 doing something. But you know who's been really fun to watch of late in that leadoff hole is Kyle Schwarber. I know the numbers might not, depending on which numbers you look at, he's walking a lot. He's walking an awful lot.
A ton. Almost 1 per game in the last 3 weeks.
Yeah, and a couple of sack flies. He's making contact when he needs to. couple of times he tried to ambush and go after that first pitch and hit it very hard. Even if they were outs, I like seeing him hit it very hard. And it's a little reminiscent of what Zobrist does every once in a while. Everybody thinks of Zobrist as giving you this great quality at bat every time. But Zobrist will try and ambush you a lot and go after that first pitch fastball.
Yeah, Schwarber being on base is a good thing. We like on-base percentage, and the Cubs are pretty good at it. The Cubs are in the top three or four in baseball, and that's a good thing. Stunning to hear that 10 years ago a guy in the organization didn't value that.
Yeah, not interested.
That is amazing to me.
It's been proven to be a sham as he waves his drink around in a suite at Sox Park, as a matter of fact.
Anytime you want to get to us via text, 67011. Our text line is brought to you by MegaPros. Repair, remodel, renovate, megapros.com. Texter says, Shep and I. No. Not in that usage.
When it's the
Shep
object,
me,
the object of the preposition.
Gave an interesting assignment to Shep and me.
Right.
That's correct. Yeah, don't mess with the bull, young man. You'll get the horns.
Hey, that's you. You're the grammar dick of epic proportions. By the way, on your Cubs on base percentage thing, what's interesting is that the leadoff spot is not anywhere near the top in terms of on-base percentage. It's 2 through 5 who's really doing the thing, but leadoff has been really bad. Okay, good. I just wanted to get that in. Carry on.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. What was the best part of your weekend? I know you spent a lot of it here. I mean, a baseball weekend is what I'm. Was it Brian's Three Dong Night? Popular band of the 70s.
Yeah. Best part of my baseball viewing weekend or my baseball. See, I'm thinking about the conversation I had with Bob Vorwald for 2 hours. You know Bob.
Sure.
And I, on Hit and Run yesterday, we talked baseball and TV for 2 hours, just getting so much behind the curtain, pulling back the curtain of how things work in the truck and how things work in the broadcast and what those conversations are like. So that's what comes to mind for me, first and foremost, baseball-wise. Other than that, the hilarity of the protest and Sean Doolittle's reaction was very entertaining because I like Sean Doolittle a lot.
Do you?
Yeah, I do. And what he had to say about Joe Maddon is the kind of thing we all used to say about Tony La Russa. It's what makes all the sense in the world that he's saying it about Joe Maddon, that sometimes he needs to show the world how smart he is.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And he sure put his stamp on that one.
What is your opinion of the toe touch, the toe drag, the toe tap, whatever you want to call it, Doolittle employed Saturday night?
Well, there's a bunch of varieties of it. What Kenley Jansen and Clayton Kershaw do, and Jansen learned his by imitating Kershaw, they don't tap. They just kind of drop the foot down and delay, and it never hits the ground, and it's thoroughly legal, and it works for them.
If it does make contact with the ground, it's illegal.
Yeah.
That's right.
And so you know what? What Doolittle, every once in a while, he does touch the ground.
He does touch, yes.
That's illegal.
It's clearly touching.
It's illegal,
got touching.
But it's another thing. And even Doolittle ended up agreeing late last night, I think it was via Twitter, saying like, we don't want to have baseball's version of the tuck rule because if it touches, it should be illegal. Whether you are Carl Edwards and you put your foot down for an entire 1.5 seconds, that was really silly. Or you're Sean Doolittle and you graze like one kernel of diamond dry that's sitting on the top of the front of the mound. It's the same thing. And you've got high resolution cameras to look at it. So they got to figure that out. So I was entertained by the whole thing. And I knew Joe would laugh once he heard about Doolittle's comments. And Doolittle eventually laughed about what Joe did. And everything was everything eventually. But I enjoyed the hell out of that.
Shep chimes in on the screen. Kyle Schwarber's OBP is 299 from the leadoff spot. That's 23rd best in all of baseball.
Yeah, I think that's overall for the leadoff spot.
Yeah, overall for the Cubs. Yeah.
For everybody. And last year they were third best, I want to say. Even
it was high. I can look real fast.
Yeah, we all
very high.
So much consternation about the leadoff spot last year, but it ended up being very good as a whole. It is not right now, and yet
second best last year.
Second best from the leadoff spot. Not so much anymore.
This segment is brought to you by Subway. Subway restaurants feature a different 6-inch sub for $3.79 every day. Subway, make it what you want at participating restaurants. Additional charge for extras plus applicable tax. No additional discounts or coupons may be applied. We didn't talk about this when I watched this morning because I was on the water all weekend, so aware of it on Twitter on Saturday night from a distant location, and I say I can't wait to watch what's going on with Doolittle and see what the reaction is.
Mm-hmm.
And It's clearly obvious baseball needs some work on its mechanics. The home plate umpire's signal to the booth upstairs. What is that?
It's a P.
And he did it backwards so they could read it, uh-huh. Right? The P for protest.
This is how you signal a protest to the press box from the field if you're the umpires. And John Boogshambi had a little video on Twitter pointing this out yesterday as well. But like, yeah, umpire it's raises his arm. He signals, he goes up with a line and around the top half of the line. Your classic uppercase P in the air to the press box.
In what other sport do they throw out the letter with a mechanic? I mean, how unsatisfying would NFL Sunday be if they drew the letter S for a safety instead of the praying hands above the head?
Or if holding two fingers up in the air, you draw two vertical lines and one horizontal in between. H for holding. No.
What?
So they need to change the protest mechanic.
We need a better protest mechanic.
May I suggest, home plate umpire stands up, stomps his feet angrily.
Go. That's demonstrative, right?
Angrily stomps his feet, maybe like bangs his chest like a gorilla, protesting.
Yeah.
Folks, get across the protest.
It's a gesture. It's gesticulating. Uh-huh. It sort of describes it.
Maybe all the umpires get together and pretend they're holding picket signs and they just march en masse by home plate. You're protesting something. I don't know.
If you guys don't clean it up, I want them to protest the game.
And then the protest is withdrawn.
Yeah, because he feels like he made his point.
They erase the P the night before the game starts. The umpire come up there and wipes off the P from yesterday's game. Before we get started here, just want to let you know.
Right, he sprays some imaginary Windex on the spot.
I got it. The Cubs have revoked their protest.
Well, he's just having his guys back. All it was.
Yeah, right. That's what Len said on the Fox crew, and that's right.
Yeah, and that's what it ends up being. Is part of the mental skills department's game plan for Carl Edwards. I bet it came up like, hey, Joe, you know what? If you ever get a chance, go ahead and protest this. Show him you have his back, even though Carl's the one who screwed it up between spring training and opening day, whatever. Just show him you have his back. So
that's perfect timing.
Operation rebuild on Carl Edwards' confidence and mental stability included a Joe Maddon protest repealed 24 hours later.
Yep. And just first pitch, too. All he had to do was throw one.
He knew
Joe
was coming.
Joe was out there. Sure.
Joe said they talked about a Friday as they're on their way to Washington. Like, oh, yeah, Doolittle does that. This could be a good time to get that protest in. We're not going to Boston. We're not going to see David Price. Dodgers aren't here anytime. So, let's do this. Let's get this with Doolittle.
Check that box.
It. Yep.
He's Matt Spiegel. I'm Danny Mack. We're on the air until 6 o'clock tonight. Len Casper from Cubs Television, his usual Monday visit right around 3 o'clock. And then last hour of the show, Bruce Levine will check in from Wrigley Field after we get some news. And he gets a chance to talk to a few of the participants in tonight's contest as the Cubs welcome back Jake Arrieta. This is The Score, Sports Radio 670.
Joe wearing a microphone for us tonight, doing a little cheerleading, as is his right.
And he's been cheering a lot lately because this team is on fuego.
It is on fuego. It's on the fire. Alex Rodriguez last night. For last spin of A-Rod for a little while last night.
This team is on fuego.
Isn't that not totally off, I guess?
It's on.
It's
on is pronounced
N. On is pronounced N. Yes.
I don't know. Some dialects.
En fuego.
This team is on fuego.
I like that. I had a couple of hot dogs on fuego the other day, and they're always better.
They
really are.
The blackened skinned dog is the preferred dog.
Yes. If it splits just a hair and the juices start to flow,
brag it. It's good.
She wants some more salsa.
Let's get to A-Rod in a second. Did you see the video of Wind in His Hair throwing for the dogs? Over the Carlos Zambrano pitch.
I did not. I have friends who went to the game on Friday night expecting to see him, and they didn't. And it was rainy and crappy. But he did throw over the weekend. I know that.
Over the weekend. But, he looks like Zambrano.
Yeah, he does. I'm doing a hit and run from there on a Sunday morning coming up at some point. I'm very much looking forward to it, hoping that Carlos Zambrano will be the guest co-host that day. Get a mulligan on the interview that you and I did with him at a restaurant, 2010.
It was a good interview. 11, yes. It was okay.
It was not a good interview.
It was good for about 15 minutes, and then it went another 40. The first 15 minutes were good, but we had committed to a luncheon with him, so we had to go to the top of the... Remember he asked for a commercial break?
Uh-huh. You guys don't do commercials?
You guys don't do any commercials. I told him, relax, slap me. And he...
Yeah, I don't recall it as being a good interview. I must admit, if we're going to be honest here and talk with each other with microphones open as we might if microphones were not open, I would say it was not a good interview.
It was a death march, is what it was. And then we got more with Jesse Crane on the back end of it. Sox reliever Jesse Crane was due in to balance the ledger a little bit.
I completely forgot Jesse Crane was a part of the festivities.
Oh, yeah.
What I remember is that I was new enough in our partnership that I did not have the stones to grab the interview by the scruff of the neck and shake it as I thought it needed to be shook at a couple points. I did not have the stones to have authority like that at the time. Yeah, because I believe I was still the in the Danny Mac show at the time, right?
I
think so. Yeah, I was still just the article at the beginning of the
didn't
of
mean
the
anything.
Phrase.
It's just words.
I know.
Man.
You can't believe everybody.
It's a lot of words. A lot of words that don't mean anything.
No, I know, but I just didn't have the stones to do it, and I wish I had. But you know, it's ancient history. So let's do it again. Because that man has anger issues, and he has had them his entire life.
I love that man, and I hope that he accomplishes everything he seeks to accomplish with this return to baseball.
Everybody that I have spoken with who ever played with the guy absolutely loves him. Anybody that was his teammate, anybody that, like talking to Dempster a few weeks ago, I don't know if you ever talked to Dempster about him, but like just absolutely love Big Z. And because he was self-aware. He was self-aware about his stuff. He just kind of had his struggles.
Javi Baez in 2019 is the Cub nobody can take his or her eyes off of when they're playing. When Zambrano was a part of it, it was Carlos Zambrano.
Yeah.
Baez, more than anybody, I think those two in the 21st century clearly are guys who you just love to watch compete.
Yeah, it's interesting. Zambrano was a very volatile conversation piece for largely his entire run here, wasn't he? Like, he would do something and it'd be like, oh boy, write that down. Here we go. Let's talk about Red Bull for a couple of weeks. You know? Let's talk about destroying soda machines for a couple of weeks. Talk about quitting on your team in the middle of a game in Atlanta and walking away.
Bottom of the hour is brought to you by GetOnBoardIllinois.org. Tired of slow zones and delays on your commute, on the bus or train? Make your voice heard at GetOnBoardIL.org. Tell your statewide elected officials to invest in transit. Better funding means better rides.
And the bottom of the hour is brought to you by the Chicago Wolves. The Chicago Wolves in San Diego are tied at one game apiece in the Western Conference Finals. The Wolves return home next weekend for potential Game 6 and 7 at Allstate Arena. For playoff and ticket information, visit ChicagoWolves.com.
I think because we've had the ESPN team a few weeks consecutively now, last night was our third night with Matt Vasgersian, Jessica Mendoza, and the great A-Rod, I think I've become a little bit desensitized to them.
They didn't annoy you last night quite as much as they have?
No, maybe I just muted it in my head a little bit. Maybe it's just that maybe some better points were made last night, too. I think that's fair to say. I absolutely agree with Alex Rodriguez that you don't slide head first into home play or into first base.
Yeah, he lit up Javi. Well, see, A-Rod knows a lot of stuff. I thought he was great doing pre and post on Fox.
That's what Parkins contends. I don't listen to it.
With strange grandpa Pete Rose.
That's why I don't watch.
With
it's
Frank
too much
Thomas.
Covers up over the head.
Oh, it was so good. I enjoyed seeing Uncle Fester looking Pete Rose up there doing his thing.
Paul Guilfoyle. Paul Guilfoyle.
That's not bad.
Oh, present day Pete Rose played by Paul Guilfoyle. I promise you.
Or Danny DeVito in penguin garb.
You seen Guilfoyle? He got the big eye. But in Spotlight just 4 years or so ago, his eyes are all puffy, closed up. He'd be perfect as Rose.
I think A-Rod feels so staged and feels like such a sham during games. And he always felt like such a sham during games. Before and after, I found him much more palatable. But I had the sound largely off last night, living my life with the fam, but having the game on and following along. I don't think... Was there a long form think piece where he walked the warning track with a compelling member of the Washington Nationals last night, like he does, and it goes on for 4 to 7 minutes gameplay is happening unattended to.
They had fun with the protest from the previous night, but okay. I don't remember a thesis, like the nightly talking points.
Right.
We guarantee we'll have at least two hits of this topic.
Right,
tonight.
Right. And like, you know, A-Rod was given 7 minutes with somebody, so he walked on the warning track with him and tried to get to the bottom of his purpose for life, and we're going to show it to you no matter what happens in the game.
We got a lineup. This is how the Cubs will go at Jake Arrieta tonight, and the lead is Javi Baez is not in the lineup tonight. Schwarber will lead off and play left field. Mm. Chris Bryant the third. Rizzo the first baseman. Caratini is catching and hitting cleanup. Hayward in right. Almora, a little sparky in center field, who had a nice weekend. Daniel Descalso, the second baseman. Addison Russell is the shortstop. And Yu Darvish is the pitcher tonight.
I was very surprised that Baez was allowed to stay in the game after he was hurt last night.
Because he clearly wasn't right.
Oh, my God, he was not right. And he's got an incredibly high threshold for pain, and he seems to have incredibly elastic muscles and ligaments as need be. It's remarkable what his body can put up with and be just fine. But my God, he's here. He's one of the MVP candidates in the National League. It's the middle of a game here in late May, and you've got a capable defensive shortstop and Addison Russell. Take the man out and let him rest. And they did so an inning or two later.
They did so, and then Russell threw one away.
Yeah.
Put runners on second and
third.
Yes, he did.
Yep, trying to make the same kind of play that Baez had made on the play with which he got hurt.
Hold the ball. You're not going to get that guy anyway.
Yeah.
So something that's as routine as the one he gets hurt on, and then he goes sliding head first into first base, and I don't know why they can't get guys to just absorb this. Don't do it. There's never a good reason to do that at first base.
Hopefully they show them the math and the science that says if you sprint through it, you're actually better. You're better off if you sprint through the bag. It's faster. That's why the first baseman leaves you room on the bag. You don't have to try and stop there. You can go right through it.
He's proven he's coachable. Look what he's doing with hitting to the opposite side this year. He leads baseball in hits to the right side.
Yeah, extremely
He's hitting
capable.
Balls that are low and away. He's coachable.
I did not believe it was ever going to happen.
I didn't think so.
I was wrong.
Yeah.
He's extremely...
You got your Manny after all,
yeah,
huh?
Yeah, I did. Here he is. Here he is. It's quite amazing what he is. But yeah, no, hopefully they show them the science on that. And also, pick an injury. Pick a shoulder dislocation. For any one of the dozens of shoulder dislocations that have happened because people have slid headfirst into bags that they don't need to. And so if you're a beautiful slider like Baez is and you're going to do so at second or home or third in the midst of a play, okay, that's different. But you don't do it if you don't have to at first when it's not faster anyway.
We'll get to some of your text messages in just a few minutes. Keep them coming at 670-11 if you'd like to shoot us one. You said you had Bob Vorwald, the executive producer. He's the vice president. He's a big shot at Channel 9 behind the scenes.
Yeah.
Longtime Chicago television producer, a very skilled guy. Something that I've noticed in the ESPN booth, and I wonder, and maybe we'll talk to Len about this. He'd be the right guy to talk to. He's going to join us at 3. He's in the Cubs booth. So it has to do with going into the Wayback Machine for pop culture references and something that's been going on Sunday Night Baseball. We'll get into that in a few minutes. Spiegel is in for Parkins. I'm Mac, and you've got the score.
Kyle Hendricks, and cue up the Aerosmith song if you have it handy, likes to live on the edge.
That was almost 90s for you.
I'm getting more current.
Yeah.
I'll catch up to you.
Yeah, okay. Kind of impressed. I've heard that one.
All right, here we go. He knew exactly what I was talking about when I mentioned it. Chris Tannehill, the surgeon of sound, he finds that, and I didn't even reference it before we got here to where we are right now, Matt Spiegel, at 13 minutes before 3 o'clock. If it's playful, cool. I don't know if it is, because it's not the first time Jessica Mendoza has busted Vaskurjian's balls about pop culture references that are dated, because he references there almost to the 90s, and she was on him for Caddyshack a week or two ago.
Caddyshack, Harry Carey.
On Alex.
Yeah, nothing very current. Is that what you're getting at?
She's the current police in the Sunday night booth. She is the she is the police cop. She's the traffic cop for all things that are too dated, maybe.
God, that reeks of a production meeting. That sounds like they sat down before they all got together, before they had their first broadcast. All right, what could our dynamic be? Let's talk about this. What could we do for our dynamic? Tell you what, why don't we treat Vasgersian like he's the older guy, but he's not really that old. He's hip, you see. But if we treat him like that, then we're really skewing young. But we're also getting the reference in, so we're skewing old too. You with me? Everybody with me here?
We're checking all the boxes.
Right?
Everybody's going to love us.
That sounds like an executive with a dry erase board, and it sounds gross to me. I realize just freaking hideous because I don't like executives with dry erase boards doing my baseball games, and I realize that that is what happens when you get a Sunday night, you get a national broadcast team as opposed to your local, and in baseball you feel it and you notice it more than ever. Because Len and JD or Benetti and Stone, maybe they talked about those kind of things once, but then it's hands off and they just have a chemistry and they just do their thing.
Yeah.
And they're trying to be comfortable because they're in your house for three
Thank
and a half
you.
Hours
yes.
multiple times a week like a radio show is. And if it's fake, you know it. You can smell it, and it smells bad.
It is a very intimate relationship
yeah.
with baseball announcers, as we hope it is with you listeners who are in your cars
right?
or where you live in your headphones, wherever you might be consuming the product. And I hope that we don't arrive at a point where Caddyshack becomes something that broadcasters, you know, we shouldn't reference that. It's too old. Is that where we're going with this? Is God. Caddyshack now too far? Is that too far removed? It was a film made in 1980. I believe Caddyshack was 80. Is that right?
You know,
I think it was 80.
But I mean, these days, in terms of time frame, everything becomes, you know, a joke upon itself, upon itself, upon itself. There's levels of irony. How long ago was it that Bill Murray and was it Dan Aykroyd on SNL did the quotable Caddyshack? Hey, folks, you can get the quotable Caddyshack. And they were pretending that you were selling a book of Caddyshack quotes. And that was the joke. That's probably 15 or 20 years old that was a joke. So now what level of irony or hell are we in here with this, you know? So reference whatever you want. Reference whatever you want. Just make it natural.
Be yourself.
Yes!
Be yourself.
And stop with your narratives of what you want the booth to feel like and slamming it down our throat on a Sunday night.
It's 1999, kind of, speech.
That was 99. That's 20 years ago. That bit is.
Wow.
Yeah. And that was making fun of people quoting Caddyshack at the time. My God.
Cubs television last week, Jim Deshays quotes Harry Chapin's Cats in the Cradle. And I want JD to lean into those. A few years ago, he called Jake Arrieta Billy Jack, who was the character played by Tom Laughlin in a really, it was a cult classic.
I've never seen it.
Bad.
I know of its place and culture
yeah,
and history.
Yeah, it was a badass. Yeah, I'm sure your older sibs were all over it as I was. It was a,
That's
you know,
right.
if you're in that age group, you know, late baby boomer, you were down with Billy Jack, and I want to hear him keep coming. Own that stuff. Man.
Yeah.
And from what we hear, millennials don't watch anyway. Right? So hell with them. younger kids aren't watching baseball anyway, so throw all the Billy Jack and Aerosmith references you want.
Folks, just take it from Dan McNeil. Be who you are, and you can always come back and have another run. You know? Take it from Matt.
A jabby.
It's not a jab. It's the truth. I've seen the numbers. You're killing it, kid. And you're being you. Apparently, people just like when people are you. You know what I mean?
Mm.
Just be honest and unmerciful.
It was like, you know, Tanny's reaction to the protest the other night. What did you say? This is exactly what kids don't watch baseball.
It, and you know, I'm enjoying, you know, watching my baseball is Saturday nights. You know, like, you know, wife and kids are asleep, and I'm like, okay, let's get us some baseball here. Like, let's finish up this game nice and tidy here. Cubs are going to lose. Let's just wrap it up already. And just this protest kept going on and on and on. Like, oh, gee, you know, no wonder the kids don't like this game. I mean, it's just so clunky and it was just boring and pointless and it was spiteful, and you could tell
what?
It was just so premeditated.
How dare you?
Like, I get it from a managerial perspective, but come on already. Let's wrap this thing up. It had going at a pretty good pace before that.
If your boy Slick Rick Renteria did it to have one of his pitchers back, then how would you feel?
Well, he would have done something.
I disagree. I had the same reaction, though, Spiegs.
I parked it, though. I slammed the brakes on my worried about what the younger kids are thinking. It's just like, who cares?
Yeah.
Because I'm sensitive to it now, too. Every time a manager walks out of the mound, I think about the 23-year-old who can't wait to throw the remote at the television.
Well, you know.
I don't even know. I don't care if you don't like it. It's baseball. You can choose to consume it or not.
I get you. I didn't even think about it from that perspective. I was genuinely interested because baseball. Because I'm a dork, and I like those nuances and the weirdness, and I liked a lot of it. What I didn't like was the protest mechanic that the umpires do. As we were talking, you draw a P in
terrible.
The air.
Needs work.
And so flatulating dog is a great idea. How about the umps use the greatest canvas in sports, the dirt around home plate? Just scrawl a giant P in the dirt front of home plate.
That's perfect. Everybody understands. Then you got to get a guy out there to rake it, though, don't you?
Yeah, well, there's always mound rakers available. I think that's just as stupid, dog. That's just as stupid. This guy, how about all four umpires go to the pitching mound and lay down in front of it so the pitcher can't throw a pitch. Get your Tiananmen Square on like the pitcher's a tank. You cannot go through.
Something better than the mime or whatever we got with the backwards P. Anything's better than that. Come up with some mechanics. Baseball doesn't have a ton of mechanics. Yeah. Come on, be more creative. You have the strike. You have the strike slash out mechanic we learned about in the American League Championship Series in 05. Doug Edding, the first time I ever heard that wasn't my out mechanic. That was only my strike mechanic on AJ Brzezinski, who is going to have a part of this program a little bit later on in an indirect way. But
I agree with you on screw the millennials in, or screw the concern about the millennials or the viewers or whatever on one level when stuff's going on and if it's interesting.
Studying the millennial concept.
Yeah, you know, as it is, if it pertains to the game and it's actually important, then whatever. Then maybe they'll learn about that and they'll actually like it.
Right. You know, they can choose to consume or not consume. No, it's not a get-off-my-lawn moment. I'm just tired of having that little, you know, word balloon above my head. Uh-oh, younger kids might flag on this. Mm. Then go do something else.
There's a lot to do
There's lots
there.
To do out there.
There's a whole world.
We got a birthday today to celebrate. Joe Cocker would have been 75 years old today. We got a nice. You wanted Woodstock's version. So.
It's the 50-year anniversary of Woodstock this year in August. I love this version of it. See, when you talk about Cocker, I think of him as like an interpretive singer. Dude took songs and made his own arrangements of some great songs and made them better. Feeling All Right by Traffic.
Yeah.
His version of that. You ever hear his version?
I like that version better
also.
It
is better.
Yeah, it is.
And I love Traffic. His version of She Came In Through the Bathroom Window from the Beatles. I like it better than the Beatles version.
Kind of do too.
Right? And then this one, another Beatles one, he makes it better. You ever see the Mad Dogs and Englishmen documentary? Bobby Keys is in it. Who else? Leon Russell, that great, great band that Cocker had.
Leon Russell, like Joe Cocker, one of those guys I appreciated more sadly after his passing. We got to step aside here, don't we?
How long Joe Cocker have? Doing the Beatles. He would be 75 on the score.
Led Casper around the corner.
What would you do if I sang out of tune? Would you stand up and walk out on me? Let me your ears and I'll sing you a song. I will try not to sing out of tune. Oh, baby, how you die?
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.